right, well, good evening. We have been covering some interesting topics on Wednesday night lately, and they have had some connection with outer space, yes. We will continue that in some respect tonight. So, let's begin in Psalm 145. Let's start over there. I'll show you a verse to kind of get us kicked off, and then I'll give you the title of this evening's message. And we'll go from there. So, Psalm 145. If you ever struggle praising the Lord, open the Psalms, and you can actually use the same verses to praise the Lord that are written on the page. There's a lot of great prayers in the Psalms as well, great prayer starters in the book of Psalms if you ever struggle praying. So here's a good one. Go to verse 3, Psalm 145. Let's read 3 down to verse 6. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. What word do you see there 3 times? Or at least a form of the word, great. Yeah, great, greatly, and greatness, all about the Lord. Is there anybody greater than the Lord? Oh, there's not. Verse 4. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. And the theme of those verses, the Lord is great. He deserves to be praised. Little side note, I know that I struggle with when I first started reading the King James Bible, or regularly. Verse 6, you have the word terrible, and the might of thy terrible acts. So you have to be careful about that word. That word usually means something bad, doesn't it? What is the root of that word? Terrible. Terror. The word terrifying. Is the Lord terrifying? He ought to be. Do you know what He's capable of? Then it ought to terrify you on some level. And I know if you're saved, you know the Lord. Okay, praise God that you don't have to worry about going to hell, because that's a terrifying thing. Who has the power to send somebody to hell? The Lord does. So don't always associate that word with something bad, because terrible can have the sense of being awesome. We would use the word awesome, referring to the Lord. So I thought that would be a good place to start, just to say how great the Lord is, and particularly verse 6 in a reference to His terrible acts and His greatness. So there's no denying the Lord is great. God's acts declare His greatness. So that's kind of the theme here. God's acts, His actions, declare His greatness. So we just had a big event last week, I guess 2 weeks now, that if you did not recognize God's greatness in it, then you missed something really neat. You all endured a hurricane here recently, correct? You say, oh, it was terrible for some people. And you're right. It was really bad for some folks. Not so bad for us. But I don't know about you, but I stood outside for just not even a minute during some of the high winds, and they weren't even that bad. But I just stood out there for a minute or so, and I almost got knocked down. This is probably a 40-mile-an-hour wind. That's probably all it was, 35, 40-mile-an-hour wind. That's powerful enough to make you move. And I did not see anybody or anything, but that wind was powerful. And all the destruction that you see from the hurricane, nobody saw the wind, but that wind did some damage, didn't it? Anytime you have a storm where there's wind, that wind is invisible, but it is powerful. Do you agree? Guess who is invisible yet powerful? That's a manifestation of God's power. Anytime you see, or whether you endure or see video of a storm, that's a manifestation of God's power. So God is in control of the weather, and I wasn't going to go that route tonight. I was going to go the route of how History continually tells us how God reveals His power from heaven to earth. And I'm talking literally. Things from up in the sky come down. And they're quite powerful. I'll just say they're powerful. We can say a lot of things about them. So tonight is, the title I gave is God's Power Revealed from Heaven. Let me just preface, when you see heaven, or when I say heaven, how many heavens are there? Okay, there's three. If you didn't know that, you should know that. Paul refers over in 2 Corinthians to the third heaven, and that is the dwelling place of God, the third heaven. So no astronaut, no spaceship has been there. What would the second heaven be? That would be outer space. The first heaven would be the atmosphere. When you go beyond the Earth's atmosphere, you're in the second heaven. When you're up in the atmosphere, so if you've ever been in a plane, you have been fairly high up in the first heaven. You with me on that? So when I say heaven in this message, I'm not referring to every time here, at least. I'm not referring to the third heaven. In fact, I think most of these may have their origin in the first heaven, but you could probably make a case for some of them actually being beyond the first heaven. So let's take a look. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6 to start off with. God's power revealed from heaven. So we talked about last week, things are actually people coming from up there to down here. These are not people we're looking at tonight that came from up there to down here. These are different things, for lack of better terms. Because there's a bunch of different types, so I'll just say things. Look at Genesis 6, and look at verse 11. Genesis 6, 11. And the reason why I'm going through this, folks, I know this should be kind of interesting and fun, but it ought to also remind us of when something goes from there to down here, God has a purpose for it, and if you don't get anything else from it as far as His purpose, His power is being manifested right before your eyes. It's the great and awesome and mighty power of God. So look at verse 11, 6:11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So what do you think is the first thing we'll take a look at that came from up there to down here, that the purpose was to destroy the earth? Anybody? The flood of Noah's day. Somebody said rain. That would be correct too. Go to chapter 7. You're close by there. Chapter 7, verse 1. Genesis 7, 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. Okay, so watch verse 4. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. For how long? 40 days and 40 nights. Watch this. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. So the first thing we see coming from heaven to earth is precipitation, rain. So let me ask you a little thought question here. Rain in general. I don't want you to take the flood of Noah's day, just rain in general. Is rain indicative of God's judgment or God's blessing? I hear blessing. Do we have anybody say judgment? We have, okay. So who's right? The two in the back that are married disagreed on that one. One said blessing, one said judgment. It's both, folks. Here in Genesis 7, it is judgment. And this is the first rain. By the way, how was the earth watered? The plants need water, don't they? How was the earth watered before it rained? There was a mist that came up from the earth, probably very similar to what we have today as dew, prior to the flood. But you cannot deny the purpose of the first ever rain. God was out to judge, and that He did. 8 people are left, as well as the animals on the ark, and God proved His point that He was obviously sending judgment. Okay, on the flip side, can rain be a blessing? Farmers can tell you all about the blessing and judgment of God from the rain. In fact, most farmers at least believe there's a God. A lot of farmers are saved because they're dependent on the Lord for their substance. And rain can be a great blessing. If you're working outside and it's really hot. Now, you get this in Florida sometimes. A lot, actually. Working outside is really hot, and then here comes the afternoon in around July, August, and here comes a little rain. Man, that sure feels good. You can stay out there in it for a little while. Man, it sure does feel good. Cools you off. So rain can be very, very much a blessing. But right here is God's judgment. So point number one here, I just listed the different things that are falling from heaven to earth. The first one's rain. And the first time rain comes, it's judgment. And I won't get into this right now, but what came after the flood that God gave as a promise? That rainbow, yeah. And that rainbow to this day, folks, is still, at least it should be to you, a reminder of God's promise. Now, what's God's promise? He'll never flood the entire earth again. Now, local floods, oh yeah. You can have a region of the United States get flooded, oh yeah. But the earth will not be flooded altogether at one time ever again. So there's the first one. There's rain. Any comments, questions about rain, the good or the bad, the judgment or the blessing? Anything about that? Okay. Let's go to Genesis 19 and get the next one here. Things that go from heaven to earth. And the reason why I'm doing this is not just for fun. God always has a purpose when things go from above to down here, from the heaven to the earth. God always has a purpose. The first one, you have rain, and God is obviously bringing His judgment. You have famines in the Bible, and then the Lord sends rain, and the people rejoice when there's a rain after a famine. It's a great blessing. So you can take a look at rain all together and find a lot of neat things about the rain. Genesis 19. Genesis 19 is the next one here. Go down there to verse 15. Just get a little background. We actually talked about this last week, last Wednesday. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot. So do you remember last week we talked about these two angels showed up? They tried to warn Lot. They did warn Lot and tried to get Lot to warn his family. And he did, but they didn't listen to him. That God was about to judge his city. So let's take a look here. 15. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." So what we're about to see here is definitely God's judgment. This is not a blessing from God. This is judgment. And here again, something's going from up there to down here. And if you know the account, you know what's coming. Go down to verse 24. Verse 24, same chapter. Then the Lord... Now notice that next word. What's that say? So when you and I use the word rain, we, at least me, I'm talking about water, H2O, coming from the sky, yeah? When the Lord uses that word, He does not always mean water. So here's the first one. We'll see another one here in a minute where God rains something. And something really neat. Now, you got your thinking cap on for this one? This one's really neat. Rain. Just rain in general, when God uses it, something is falling from heaven to earth. R-A-I-N, correct? Now, there's a day coming, Revelation 19, when the Lord Jesus Christ will descend from heaven and... I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm talking about after the rapture, after the tribulation. He will come all the way down here from heaven to earth. And what's the purpose in Him doing that? What's the word? It's spelled a little different. Go ahead. It's the same sound, but a little different spelling. R-E-I-G-N. Isn't that neat? In English, you get some really neat things. I know the scholars always like to run to Hebrew and Greek, but in English, you get some nuggets. Rain, when God uses R-A-I-N, something's coming down from above. And the most important person that comes down from above is Jesus Christ to rain, R-E-I-G-N. I thought that was pretty cool. So, look at verse 24. Okay, we read 24. I don't think I read all of it. 24 again. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah. What did He rain? Brimstone and fire. There you go, Zane. It says, notice the wording, brimstone and fire from who? From the Lord. Don't miss that. This is a purposeful act of God. Brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And He overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew up on the ground. And then just you have the account of Lot's wife. Here's something interesting to study. But his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. And oh, do the scholars ever have a hard time with that? Do you think that really happened? I believe it really happened. I've never seen that. You and I may never witness anything even close to that, but I believe that really happened. Now, on that subject of do things really happen like they are spoken of happening in the Bible, you should lean to say yes. You should lean on that side. Yes, yes. So I thought I'd do a little search on this one and just take a look at any kind of archaeological finds concerning that region. And I did not take but a minute on this one. This took, with Google, you know, this takes no time. So I just found one that I thought was quite interesting. This is from a website called Study Finds, and it's from the astronomy section of that website. Here's what it says, quote, "The biblical sin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah could have been destroyed by a meteor cloudburst that incinerated all 8,000 inhabitants, a fascinating new study suggests." Follow. "The giant space rock exploded over the town 3,650 years ago, creating a fireball. Scientists say the same event might also have given rise to the tale of Jericho's walls tumbling down, as that city was just 20 miles away." So they got part of it right. Yeah, there was a fireball. And there's archaeological proof in that region that there was something very unusual that occurred. And these are, from what I could gather, not saved scholars that are scientists, archaeologists that said this. They point to something coming from up there to down here of cosmic orientation. Isn't that wild? They even acknowledge that. And of course, they have to explain it away. Folks, Jericho didn't happen for a while after that, so that can't be the same. But they have to try to explain something that they can't really explain with something that they think is right. That's how they work. Yeah, what you got, Zane? And I'm certain that the scientists can't duplicate.
It can't be found anywhere else on Earth except this place.
Because it came.
It still burns to this day.
Does it really?
It'll
so those on the live stream, Zane is just communicating that the remnants of what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah still there and point to something special happening that is unexplainable, and the sulfur there being something that's not found anywhere on Earth, because where did it come from? That's a good little entryway into the end of that. So yeah, thank you for that. That's perfect. Burned everybody that lived there. Yep. Yep. Wow. You take a look at archaeology, you take a look at real history and the proofs of things happening, and it always supports the Bible. You have to go way off in left field to somebody trying to disprove the Bible, not being honest with you, to say otherwise. So I challenge you, take a look at that stuff on your own. The information's out there. So we got water coming from the sky, judgment. Fire and brimstone coming from the sky, judgment. Take a look at one more here, yeah. Sulfur. Yes, sulfur. The town I spent from age 14 to about age 21, Sulfur, Louisiana. And it stunk in that town. If you ever smelled sulfur, it smells awful. Now you live there a while, you get used to it. But when you first get there, it's awful, yeah. Sulfur. Go to Exodus 9. Here's one that is not the same, but similar. Exodus 9. And again, hopefully you're seeing, these are acts of God. They are always purposeful acts of God when they occur. Which leads me to say, before we get into this, do you think that Hurricane Ian was a purposeful act of God? What say you? If you say no, that means it was an accident. Now, I cannot tell you what God's purposes are behind particularly phenomena associated with the weather. I can't always pinpoint it. But I can tell you God always has a purpose. There's nothing that He allows that does not have some purpose. Now, it's easy to say, well, folks that are skeptics will say, well, God sure is mean destroying all that on the West Coast through, with that hurricane. Folks, I don't know the purpose, but God had a purpose and a reason for allowing that. And if nothing else, we shouldn't be tied to our earthly possessions too much, should we? And anybody who's lost everything would really have a reality check into the importance or lack of importance of earthly possessions. So again, I can't always figure it out, but God always has a purpose. So go to Exodus 9. Let's take a look at the next one. Exodus 9. This is in the midst of the plagues of Egypt. This is God talking to Moses. If you go back to verse 13, you get the beginning. Verse 9:18, the Lord says this, "Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to," notice the word again, "rain," but what is it? "A very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die." Now watch verse 20, very interesting. "He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses." Watch the contrast in the next verse. "And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field." There's some preaching right there from those two verses. Notice verse 20. Fearing the word of the Lord. Verse 21. Regarding not the fear of the word of the Lord. You realize every time, this is saved people, this is us. Every time we hear the word of the Lord, that's the choice you make, isn't it? To either fear and heed it or to disregard it. Watch what happened to those who feared it and did something to prepare and those who disregarded. Go down there to verse 23. "Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail." Okay, so it doesn't really say a whole lot here about the people in Egypt that chose to fear the Lord. But if they got their cattle out of the field and put them in the barn, what happened? They're safe. And it was just a matter of, am I going to listen and heed what God said, believe what God said? Now, had they ever seen such a sight before this? No. So it's a matter of, I don't care how strange it sounds, am I going to believe what God said? And today, people think you and I are a little crazy for believing things that we have not seen yet, but God said they will happen. So nothing's changed when it comes to that. You heed the word of God, there's great reward and there's safety. You disregard God's word, there's great danger and, in this case, loss of life. So, interesting there with the hail. You ever seen, what's the biggest hail y'all have seen? I have seen golf ball size up in the panhandle of Texas, golf ball size hail. Anybody seen bigger than that? Golf ball is, for hail, that's huge. And when you are in a house with a metal roof on it, you talk about the racket you hear. I mean, it sounds like a baseball, an actual golf ball or a baseball hitting the roof, something else. Do quite the damage to your car. Golf ball size hail will. Oh, yeah. So, there's some hail mingled with fire. So, you've seen so far two instances of fire. Has it been blessing or judgment? It's been judgment. So, I don't think we'll get to this week with fire coming down from heaven and some other instances. We'll save that for next week. But when fire comes down from heaven, most of the time, it's God's judgment. In fact, I think every time. There's one time where you could kind of make an exception, but then it still is connected with God's judgment. I think we'll have to save that one for next week. At the same time, fire. Pastor preached on this here a while back in Sunday school about fire. Can fire be a blessing? You ever been real cold? You ever go warm your hands at the fire after you're really cold and it just helped thaw you out? You ever, there we go. You're speaking my language there. You ever cook over an open fire? You ever eat a hamburger cooked over an open fire? There's nothing better than that. Five Guys can't hold a candle to a burger cooked over open fire. See? So these things can be a blessing. And then when God uses them in certain instances, they obviously are God's judgment. So I can't end on that. I know it's just about time to quit here, but I can't end on that one. Can we end on a good one? And we'll get to some more fun ones next week, but can we? Or is that okay? Can we end on a good one? Everybody got a minute here? Go to Exodus 16. Exodus 16. Things coming from above all the way down here to the earth, from heaven to earth. Exodus 16. And I want you to notice again, we've seen this several instances already, God uses that word rain, and it has something to do with things going from up there to down here, not just H2O. Exodus 16, look at verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. I tell you, there's a whole sermon in verse 3 there about when you forget how good the Lord is, you resort to being delusional. If you read verse 3, they are delusional. Do you remember how good it was in Egypt? Was it good in Egypt? No. In verse 3, they make it sound like it was the greatest place when they had all this food. It was not good there. So, I tell you, here's a whole another message in a verse. If you don't walk with the Lord and trust the Lord on a continual basis, your thoughts and actions and words can become delusional. So beware of that. You can think that things are a certain way when they're not. Look at verse 4. The Lord, in spite of their groanings, look what He does here, because the Lord's gracious. You know how He is. Aren't you glad He is? Verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will, what's that next word? I will rain what? So we've seen fire and hail. We've seen fire and brimstone. We've seen H2O. And here we have bread. I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. So the ones we've looked at so far with rain, things coming from heaven to earth, they've been associated with God's judgment. How about this one? This is, you better believe it, Miss Diana, this is a blessing of God. This is the miraculous provision of God to give them something to eat. And it just so happens that when you go to the New Testament, John 6:35, there's a certain person that said, Your fathers did eat bread in the wilderness and are dead. He goes on to say, I am the bread of life. So, great place to end here. Folks, I really believe those Israelites looked up and bread literally came down from the sky down here to earth. Now, they did have to do the work to gather it so that they could have something to eat. And on the seventh day, it didn't come down, so they had to gather extra on the sixth, so they had enough for the seventh. But isn't that the miraculous provision of Almighty God for His people? Bread in the wilderness? Now, you got any bread that came from heaven yourself? Do you have any? You sure do. Did you know that you had bread that came down from heaven? That is for your spiritual nourishment? What is it? It is, okay, so Zane's got me here. First off, let me hit one of two things here. First off, it's the Word of God. And did you ever notice B-R-E-A-D, bread? Take the B off of bread, what do you have? Read or read. What are you supposed to do with this bread? Let's read it. You do not benefit from it unless you partake of it, unless you read it. Those Israelites, and this is a lot of Christians today, folks, Those Israelites could have looked up and said, man, this is God's miraculous provision. Wow! And watched it come all the way down and then said, wow, isn't that neat? And never enjoyed the benefit from it unless they took the time and the energy to reach down and get it and gather it and then feed themselves. So many a Christian has a Bible, if not 5 or 10 in their house, but you got to do the work, got to labor to read it, and so you partake of it and benefit from it spiritually. You get spiritual nourishment. Now, Zane mentioned Jesus Christ. What's one of his many titles? That's the same as the Bible, the Word. And he is the living bread. He's bread personified. This is alive too, but Jesus Christ is bread personified and came from heaven down here to earth. So I think that's a good place to stop right there. Don't forget to enjoy your bread the rest of this week. You get bread served on Sundays and Wednesdays. Praise God that we've got many folks here that can do that. But you don't have to get it served. If you're not a baby, can't you feed yourself? And you should feed yourself. You should get into the Word yourself every day and feed yourself. Get that spiritual nourishment. And just keep in mind, every time you open the Bible now after this message here, think about where this came from. It came from heaven to earth. And oh, is it a blessing. Oh, is it a benefit. So we'll hit some more of these next week. Got a few more to cover. So we'll do a part two next week, Lord willing. Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement you always give us through your words. The reality of what we see around us and what we read in the Bible is they just go hand in hand. And I just thank you that we can see that very clearly. Your word is true. And I pray that all of us go out of here and benefit in these coming days from the spiritual nourishment of your word on our own. And we just want to ask that you just remind us of things that we see in your word that would help us in our walk with you, in our witnessing. Recall things to our mind that would help us even in our witnessing over the next few days. And we ask for your hand of protection and your guidance as we go from here. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.